supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
The backside of the moon is composed in part from material donated from the near side of the moon. Let's compare faces with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, what sort of donation is this, and when did it happen?
Well, as the moon looks to us today, it looks pretty good, but there's been a lot of dynamic activity on the moon over its history. What people are probably most familiar with is the most tumultuous of events on the moon, which is that event that created the moon. A large object crashing into the Earth spins off material that then coalesces into what we know now as the moon. But it seems as though the backside of the moon, as we see it today, really has borrowed some of its material from the near side of the moon, as you described. And that event seems to have occurred not long after the moon's surface cooled and solidified from its original construction. What actually happened was another object in our solar system, something that would be a dwarf planet-sized object, maybe 480 miles in diameter or so, traveling at nearly 23,000 miles per hour, smacked into the near side of the moon as we know it.
Talk about insult to injury.
Isn't that terrible? But the result of that was ejecta being thrown up from that surface hit, then laid itself back around the backside of the moon. So if we look at the backside of the moon using gravity sensors from lunar orbit, as we have been doing, data from 2012 tells us that the backside of the moon has a layer of material that's approximately 3 to 6 miles thick that really originally belonged to the front side of the moon. So we look at the front side of the moon, we see there are large impact basins that have filled with basalt from beneath the surface of the moon subsequent to when this event happened. But then there's the cratering that's happened on the backside, nothing anywhere near as large except for one feature that's happened on the backside. But we can tell from that gravity signature that there's more layers to the backside than what meets the eye.
The backside, fans of Pink Floyd would refer to as the dark side of the moon, but let's review, there truly is no dark side on the moon.
No, there is no dark side on the moon. When we talk about the dark side of the moon, what we're doing is we're assuming that if the side of the moon that we see is light, then the other side of the moon is dark. The moon does rotate on its axis, but it rotates on its axis at the same rate that it revolves around the Earth, and that means that we always see the same side. But if you think about it for just a moment, well, guess what? It turns out that the other side of the moon, the back side of the moon, certainly sees illumination. And we can pick a phase of the moon in which this works just perfectly, and that would be new moon. New moon is that phase when the moon is in the sky during the day along with the sun. We can't see the side of the moon that we always see because there's not much illumination there, and the sky contrast makes it difficult for us to see. But that means that other side of the moon is seeing plenty of sunlight.
Derek, in 2019, is star formation a growth industry across the Milky Way?
I have bad news for you. Don't invest in stellar production today. You'll be sorely disappointed tomorrow. As it turns out, the number of stars being produced in our fabulous Milky Way galaxy is down to about the amount of one solar mass per year. That's about the amount of stars we're producing right now. But the Gaia satellite, it's a European Space Agency instrument that provides precise distance and motion measurements for more than a billion stars, has helped us now to understand that there have been growth spurts in our galaxy over time, times at which there have been dozens and dozens of stars per year being born, and that process went on for billions of years, in fact, 10 billion years in the history of our galaxy. If we look at the process overall, though, one thing we do see that is consistent throughout the universe is that the overall number of stars being produced, not just in our galaxy, but in many, many, many galaxies across the cosmos, is that that number is decreasing.
So when these stars are extinguished, what does that portend?
Well, first things first, it's a good thing that as individual humans, we don't hang around for more than 120 years or so. But yes, that is big trouble for our planetary system. And overall, what we see is that The universe is running out of entropy, and this firmly falls into the laws of thermodynamics that basically say the basic principle is that we start out at a high energy level, and that energy level runs down over time. So at some point in the very far billion, billion, billion year future of our universe, things will become much colder and much darker.
Derek, for the longest time, we've been able to see Mars when we step out of doors on a clear night. For how much longer?
Only about a week. Finally, it's making its way down into the sunset glow on the western side of the sky, after which the two gas giants of the solar system will take over the sky. Jupiter and Saturn are now rising, Jupiter at 10 p.m., Saturn by midnight, and they're pushing into the evening sky. We'll be seeing them rising earlier and earlier as we cross from spring into summer. And you'll see them both in the pre-dawn sky now as well, straddling the southern Milky Way, bright Jupiter ahead of dimmer Saturn.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.